Jennifer, you're very welcome to the show and thanks for joining me again in studio.
Thanks a million for having me, Amber.
I'm delighted to have you here. So I suppose maybe just to start off, will you explain maybe in the most simplest terms that you can, what has changed since last Monday?
I can, of course. So I suppose from last Monday, the 29th of June, the Employment Contractual Retirement Ages Act 2025 came into effect, which is a mouthful in itself to say. So I suppose what that means basically is that eligible employees have a new statutory right to notify their employer that they don't want to retire at their contractual retirement age or don't consent to retire at that age, where the age is below the state pension age of 66. And I suppose that's an important point within this legislation. So I suppose, for example, if an employee's contract says they must retire at 65 and they have completed their probation period, they may be able to formally notify their employer that they wish to continue working up to the state pension age. So the important point is that it doesn't mean that every employee must stay working. It very much gives them a choice, I suppose, in that sense. So if they wish to retire, they still can. But if they want to remain in work, there is now a formal legal process around that. So I suppose for employers, the key change is that they can no longer simply rely on the retirement age alone that's written into the contract. Yeah. They need to carefully consider the employee's notification. And if they want to enforce the contractual retirement age, they must be able to justify that decision.
Okay, very interesting. And would say, like, who's covered then by this new right? Does it involve every employee?
So I suppose it's not every employee. The new right applies where an employee has a contractual retirement age that's below the state pension age, which is currently 66, and where the employee has completed their probationary period. So I suppose they're the two qualifying factors in that sense. It doesn't apply where the retirement age is already 66 or higher within their contract. And it also doesn't apply where there is a maximum retirement age or service limit set by law. So some public sector, I suppose, workers and that. So I suppose the main group that we need to look at now are employees whose contracts or policies refer to retirement at 65 or any age below 66. So employers should be reviewing their contracts and procedures now in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And if an employee then wants to use this new right, what do they need to do, Jennifer?
So I suppose the important thing is that they have to notify their employer, and they must notify them in writing that they don't consent to retire at their contractual retirement age. The timing is also very important. So the employee must give notice at least 3 months, but not more than a year before their contractual retirement date. I suppose there's a rule in place as well around longer notice periods that may exist in contracts of employment. So in that case, the employee must give either the notice period as per their contract or a 6 month notice, whichever is the shorter piece, I guess. So I suppose the notification itself should clearly state that the employee does not consent to retiring at the contractual retirement age and should refer back to the legal basis under the relevant act. So I suppose a practical piece for employers is that the earliest contractual retirement date the Act can apply to is the 29th of September this year because of the minimum 3 month notification in that sense. Okay. So that's 3 months away. Yeah. It's coming in thick and fast. So I suppose it's not something that employers should park for later in the year. They need to be ready now.
Yeah, because as you say, those weeks will fly by. It might seem like September is a long way away, but, you know, as you say, it goes quite quickly.
So 100%.
If this kind of notification does come across their desk, what do employers need to do?
So I guess the first thing and the important thing is not to react informally or to dismiss the query as a simple HR question. It is now a statutory process and needs to have a process in place to support it. So the employer needs to acknowledge and carefully consider the notification. If the employer is prepared to allow the employee to continue working, that should be confirmed in writing, and any practical arrangements that are needed should be addressed as well in that confirmation. But I suppose if the employer wants to enforce the contractual retirement age, the standard is much higher for them now. So the employer must provide a reasoned reply within 1 month of receiving the notification, and that also has to be in writing. The reply itself must explain why retirement at the contractual age is objectively and reasonably justified by a legitimate aim for the business, and also why enforcing that retirement age is appropriate and necessary in the circumstances. So I think the big message here is that a generic statement isn't enough anymore. employers need to show that they have considered the individual employee circumstances and also the business reasons carefully behind this.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned justification there, and that phrase, it can sound quite legalistic. So will you explain to us maybe what does it mean in practice, Jennifer?
Yeah, of course. And as you say, I suppose with all these new legislation pieces, there's a lot of jargon there that people don't quite understand. And it very much is trying to bring it back to what does this actually mean, and what do I need to think about? So I suppose the employer must be able to show a real legitimate business reason for enforcing the retirement age. And I suppose show that the retirement is appropriate and necessary way to achieve that business aim. So I suppose it's not enough to say anymore, that's what the contract says, or that's what we've always done, so that's what we're continuing to do. In practice, employers will need to look at issues such as workforce planning, succession planning, health and safety where that's relevant, operational requirements, and also consistency with how other similar situations have been handled in the past within the business. But I suppose importantly, the decision does still need to be individualised for the person in question. So I suppose the updated guidance from the WRC specifically points employers towards a more structured and considered process. So my advice to employers would be, if you are going to refuse or enforce retirement, make sure that the reasoning is evidence-based, that it's documented, and it's specific to that employee and that role.
Okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I can imagine there probably are risks for employers maybe then who don't follow the process properly. So you might explain to us what some of those risks might look like, Jennifer.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose, look, there are a few key risks, I suppose, as is the case when new legislation comes into play. So I suppose, firstly, the employee may bring a complaint to the Workplace Relations Commission if they believe the employer hasn't complied with the Act. Secondly, there are protections against penalisation. So employers can't penalise or treat an employee negatively because they've exercised or would like to exercise this right. And I suppose thirdly, there's a broader risk of age discrimination. So I suppose where that retirement is handled inconsistently or without clear justification, that can be the case. And I suppose the government guidance very much supports that, in that it confirms that employees remain protected by existing equality legislation, including protection against discrimination on the age ground. And I suppose finally, from my own perspective, it can lead to a reputational risk. So I suppose retirement conversations are sensitive. You know, it's a big milestone in someone's life and it's a big change. And sometimes people may wish to bridge that gap by working a little bit longer. And I suppose if those conversations are handled poorly, they can damage trust, they can damage morale, and I suppose the employer brand can suffer as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point. For employers that might be listening maybe, and especially maybe the smaller businesses, I suppose, which we have a lot of them here in Kerry, they mightn't have a dedicated HR department. So what maybe should they be doing now?
Absolutely. So I suppose to break it down practically, there are five steps that I would recommend, I suppose, at this point. And I suppose the first being to review the contracts and handbooks. So check whether you have a contractual retirement age and whether that is below 66. Secondly, I would say put a clear process in place. So employers should have a written procedure for how these notifications should be received, considered and responded to. Thirdly, I would say prepare your templates. So there's correspondence required as part of this with the individual in question. So that looks at things like acknowledgement letters, approval letters, reasoned written response templates where the employer is considering reforcing retirement. Fourthly, I would say train your managers. So these conversations often happen on the front line. And a line manager will often maybe even receive a formal conversation around this. Those line managers need to understand that this isn't just an informal chat and that it can have legal implications. And I suppose fifthly, from my perspective, I would say document everything. So if a decision is challenged later, the employer will need to show how the decision was reached, what factors were considered and why the outcome was appropriate. So I suppose the approach in that sense, in terms of the five steps, is similar to what we would often advise other SMEs to do in terms of other HR areas: have a process, apply it consistently and keep proper records in place.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really good advice there for people. When it comes to this, I suppose, new legislation, are there particular sectors or employers in Kerry maybe that should be paying particularly close attention?
Yeah, I guess there are. Now, it's relevant across all sectors in that sense, but particularly it's SMEs, so family-run businesses, healthcare, professional services, hospitality, other workplaces where key people often hold a lot of knowledge and client relationships, because they would be a big loss, I suppose, in that sense. And I suppose, as you mentioned earlier, Amber and Kerry, many employers operate with lean teams and are in SME environments. So losing an experienced employee suddenly or mishandling a retirement conversation can have a very real operational impact in that sense. Yeah. But there's definitely an opportunity here in terms of longer working. And I suppose that element of longer working can support knowledge transfer. It can look at mentoring, business continuity and succession planning as well, and support all of those areas. The message here is that retirement isn't gone. It's that retirement needs to be planned and managed properly. And I suppose for many employers, this may actually prompt better workforce planning conversations. Who's nearing retirement? What knowledge needs to be transferred? Mm-hmm. What flexibility might be possible? And what role that person might play as they approach the state pension age?
Yeah, and I know a lot of people might, as you said before, want to work on past, you know, the retirement age where possible, but some people are counting down the days to their retirement, understandably, yeah, as well. So a common concern might be maybe, like, you know, that they might be asking, does this mean that someone can never retire before the age of 66?
I understand completely, and that's not what the Act says ultimately. So I suppose employers may still be able to enforce a contractual retirement age below 66, but the threshold to do so is higher. From an employee's perspective, it's very much the individual choice, which is important and remains in place. From an employer's point of view, if they want to look at that age of 65 or potentially lower, depending on their contracts, they must be able to justify the retirement as objectively and reasonably justified by a legitimate aim, and show that enforcing retirement is appropriate and necessary in the situation. So the ability to retire someone hasn't disappeared, but the process and the justification are just much more important now given the new legislation.
Okay. And Jennifer, I suppose, how does it impact maybe employees who are already age 66 or maybe older and they might want to keep working?
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose the updated code is important here because it provides guidance for both the new statutory notification process and, I suppose, the broader issue of requests to work longer. The code includes sections dealing with standard retirement arrangements, identifying individual intentions and the retirement process and request to work longer. So even where this new Act doesn't apply, for example, when someone is already at or above the state pension age and does kind of want to continue, I suppose, in employment, which we're seeing quite frequently now, employers should still handle the request carefully and fairly and consistently as per the code. I suppose that code is guidance, but what we will see is that that code of practice can be very relevant where a dispute arises, meaning that employers shouldn't ignore it.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to this then, what do you think might be the biggest mistake that employers might make when it comes to this change?
I guess the biggest mistake really is assuming that it's just an administrative update. Yeah. And it's not. It is new legislation and it does need to be taken seriously and, I suppose, implemented with the decision process in place. The second mistake is using a blanket approach, simply saying everyone retires at 65 without considering an individual case. That won't stand up, unfortunately, anymore. And I suppose the third mistake really is failing to respond properly and in time. So if an employee submits a valid notification and the employer wants to enforce the retirement age, the employer must provide a reasoned reply within 1 month. So there is a timeline in place now. Yeah. So I guess employers need to be organised is the key point there. They need to know who will manage the process internally and when they might need HR or legal advice.
Yeah, absolutely. And just before we finish up, maybe just one final piece of advice for employers listening that you might have. What would it be?
Yeah, I guess the main thing really is don't wait until the first request comes in. Review your contracts now, check your retirement clauses, put a process in place and make sure managers know what to do if the employee raises the topic. So the change has now come into effect. So employers should therefore be acting now rather than reacting later. When this is handled well, it can support better workforce planning and retention of valuable experience. If it's handled poorly, it can create legal, operational and reputational risks.
Okay. And just remind people, if they want to contact you at Orbitus, if they're looking maybe for that bit of advice or help around this area, what's the best way to contact you?
Absolutely. We're here to help and support and advise. We can be reached at info@orbitus.ie or by phone on 066 71 69033.
Brilliant. Well, Jennifer, there's a lot to take in there, but thank you for explaining it. You've broken it down very well for people. So thanks for coming in and for joining me this evening.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Amber.